chapter 31, and we'll start reading in verse 15 just a moment. Psalm 31, verse 15. And I appreciate that psalm. One of these days, hey, look here. You talk about knowing it's true. Look in Psalm 31 and look in verse 15. Boy, did I enjoy yesterday, amen. I enjoy myself. I like it when Brother Richardson gets to where he don't know what to do. I like it. I'll be honest with you. I'll tell you about my preacher in a minute. Look in Psalms 31 and look in verse 15, and would you read it with me in unison? Ready? My times are in thine hands. Do y'all believe that? Amen. Let me show it to you again. My times, T-I-M-E-S, are in thine hand. Now, if you really believe that, that means this, that he knows your very date of birth. I believe that. Lord, y'all took it riddling again, haven't you? I believe that with all my heart. Amen. Jeremiah says the Lord knew him before his substance was ever formed in his mother's belly. So God not only knows my date of birth, but secondly, look at that verse. If my times are in his hands, secondly, that means this to me. He desires to direct my life. He desires to direct my life. And the third thing that, boy, that blesses me is this. Is look in your Bible. He knows the day that I'll depart this world. I may act worse than y'all do tonight. If that ever gets a hold of you, it says, T-I-M-E-S, my times are in thine hands. So if God knows ever, he knows that red bird's fixing to leave this world. That not even a little sparrow. Did I say that? All right, if a sparrow can't even fall to the ground that the Father doesn't take notice of it, and every hair on my head is numbered, he certainly knows the date of my birth. He wants to direct my path, and he knows the day that I'll leave this world. And everything in between there. Now, you say, well, if I believe like you did, now listen, it'd be a little dumb if you go out here and stand on the side of 41 and you see an 18-wheeler coming down through there and step out in the front of it, you're responsible. That's a little dumb, say amen. But you can stand in the shadow of it and it'll never hurt you. Now, everybody knows Brother Broughton, don't you? He and I have been together for 40 years. And when I come in, and I've been a member of Celine for 28 years, and they, anymore when I come in, they give me a visitor's card. But when I do get home, this is a standard thing with he and I. He'll call me up and he'll say, it's Tuesday, I'll meet you at Cracker Barrel. And me and him will go to Cracker Barrel, and we'll sit over there, and sometimes they're going to drop a net over us. I'm telling you the truth. They're going to drop a net over us and just take us off somewhere to Frankfurt somewhere and get rid of us. We'll get to talking and we'll get to crying. And Noah would just cry at the drop of a hat. And we've got to talking just a few, I don't know, let's see, I was in Virginia last week and the week before that, where in the world was I at? It's been a couple of weeks back. But we were sitting in the middle of Cracker Barrel and I was telling him and we were sharing these little nuggets with each other. And I told him, I said, Brother Noah, I said, you preached a message one time on God giving us a servant's heart. I said, I've never forgot it. There's times in our life that certain messages means more to us than other times. We was talking about a servant's heart. And all of a sudden, that preacher of mine that I've known and close as he and I is just started weeping uncontrollably. Well, that made me cry. I mean, we just sit there crying. And the woman just, she had a whole pot of coffee. As much as I love coffee, she wouldn't even fill my pot, my coffee cup. We were just crying. And I looked over at Brother Noah, and here's what he said, and I'll take it to my grave. He said, I want to finish well.
Amen.
You'll get that just in a minute. He said, I want to finish well. That struck a chord in my heart. Paul said, I've run my race and I've finished my course. I believe all of us that are truly saved by the grace of God, you ought to want to finish well. I'm going to shoot every phone. I'm going to shoot. He's the prince and power of the air. How many of you remember the young girl that had trained for years and years and years to run the Olympics? How many of y'all remember this? And the young girl, she had health problems. Her parents, everybody, her coaches, everybody told her that she would never be able to run a marathon, that she could not run the marathon. But boy, she was the hope. This girl had excelled in all, in every one of her categories, she had excelled. And it come time for the race, and the young girl, and she took off running as hard as she could run, and she was ahead of the pack. And all of a sudden, the one that was right beside her fell. And she stopped to pick him up and to help him, and all of them passed her. She could have won the race. But when her coach asked her, said, "Why did you stop?" And all of everybody up in the places in the arena was hollering, "Run, run, run!" And she could have won it, but she stopped to help that man that fell. When she got to the end of her, she went up and went ahead and ran, even though she couldn't win. Here's what she told her coach. She said, "I just wanted to run my race well." And he hugged her neck and said, now listen to this. This may not mean a lot to you, but this is what got a hold to me, that she stopped and took time to pick up a fellow runner. And she said, "I just want to run my race well." And I thought, that's what we all are we're in a race. We're running a race. And when somebody stops, when somebody falls, we ought to be there to help pick them up. Amen. I want to run my... It doesn't say that I'm to be handsome or intelligent or fabulously wealthy, but I can run my race well. I can do that. Moreover, it's required in a steward that he be found faithful. Amen. So needless to say, my preacher and I have covenanted together that we're going to run our race well. I said, "I can outrun you." And little short, stocky legs. My son... Don't you listen to this. When my boy got killed, I had his Bible in my hands, that his prayer list of the whole front page of where that Nathan is prayer list, and it's just one page after the other. And after I come somewhat to my senses, and I thought, Nathan has just run his race and he's outrun his daddy. That's all he done. He just outrun his daddy. Amen. Can you imagine old Dr. Robinson stepping off on this side and there was Charles Weigel? Yeah. Can you just imagine them two? And can you imagine Lee Robinson seeing his wife after all them years? That's as real to me as I'm looking at Lawrence Richardson.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We'd have quit if we all might run a little while. Boy, I like it when these women float their contacts. Amen. Mess that mascara up. That's good for you. How many of y'all ever have a good cry and you feel better? How many? Raise it. Are you ashamed, Darjean? Raise a hand. What if it makes you feel better? Won't you do more of it? Good preaching, Melvin. How many of you got your Bibles? Hold them up real high. Man, wonderful. Right kind, it'll count. Open your Bible. The book of John, please. John, please, chapter 19. But I could already go to my room and just shout a while. I love it. Hey, I tell them all the time, when the big preacher comes, the little one can just sit down. Hey, man, it don't bother me. I've learned a long time ago, son, hey, when God the Holy Ghost comes, when He passes by, the little one can just take Him a place and sit down there. Amen. Most of us need to die to our sorry selves anyway. And the Bible says, and they overcame Him by the word of their testimony. Every now and then, y'all just have a good testimony meeting. It ought not like me pulling teeth. Amen. Boy, you say God's been good to you. Every now and then you ought to stand up and tell everybody God's been good to you. Hey, I love it. The church I'm a member of, I'm a member of Sling, been there for years and years. I love it. You know the reason why we don't run a lot of people? You want to know why? Would y'all like to know why that we don't run? We got a pretty good group of people. Maybe a couple hundred, for preaching service. Go out door knocking, they'll say, "Y'all hold too long." I said, "Excuse me." I said, "The best of my knowledge, we ain't got no seat belts on them seats. You can leave anytime you want to." They'll say, "Yeah, but we pass by there, and sometimes it's 1:30 and 2:00, and y'all are still there." I killed the meeting, didn't it? Sometimes I'm telling you the God's honest truth. Boy, God will get in that place, boy, and I'm talking about it'll be so real. It's so thick around there. Do y'all understand what I'm just saying? Yep. That people would just get to testifying. And the preacher, Brother Noel, when he gets to crying, look here, you might as well just get ready to stay there for a while. I like it, amen. He'll just get to bawling, boy, and look here, and everybody will get to testifying, and they'll run shifts on the altar. Yeah. And I, worse, I mean, listen, you don't want to be around me when it gets like that. I love it, thank God. And they say, you hold too long, ain't that pitiful? But they'll go to a stinking low-down ball game and sit there for hours. And I tell them that before I leave. How do y'all go to a ball game and sit there and go into overtime and nobody leaves? Say amen. If we spend as much time on our spiritual life as we do our physical. Now think about that for a moment. If we spend as much time feeding our soul as we do our physical body. Matthew says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Yes, our day and time, we don't hunger and we don't thirst. We're hungering and thirsting after the wrong things. Yes, good preaching, Melvin. John, please, chapter 19, find your place before I hurry up and get out of here. I ain't going nowhere. Y'all can leave if you want to. Boy, I enjoyed preaching this morning in school. Y'all ought to come. Some of y'all ain't got enough nerve to come like Brother Noble. He just can't handle it. Don't laugh, Kath. I'm on that subject. On how that what God gave Adam and Eve, that He gave Adam a heart that he might know Him, and He gave him a mind that he might know Him, and a heart that he might love Him. And then He gave him a will that he might obey Him. And I'm all week long, if God helps me and blesses me to the extent that I can do this, I want to get on the power of choice. Brother Yandel this morning and Brother Bradley raised their hand that we'd all made the wrong choices. Raise your hand, fellas. We've all made bad choices in our life. Yeah. But if you'll pray, I could sense God working. Did y'all sense that this morning that God was working these high school students? I did. Boy, I want God to change their lives. Would y'all say amen? Amen. I don't want them to make the wrong choices. This book right here can direct their lives. Amen. Come in the morning. What time is it? 9:30. Would y'all please quit passing out that junk? John 19. I'm going to read with you, if you would please, in order to conserve time. Look in verse 23. Now, everybody take notes on me. Ready? John chapter 19, verse 23. Now, let me read verse 22. Pilate answered, what I've written, I've written. Verse 23. Then the soldiers, S-O-L-D-I-E-R-S. Look in your Bible. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus. We read that, but somehow or another, we've read it and read it till it does have the effect upon us. Do y'all remember how they crucified Jesus? Do y'all remember? Nod your head or say something to me. Yes, do y'all remember there was two other thieves crucified with Him, one on the left, one on the right? Yes, they get to the Son of God, they lay Him down, and they nail Him to the cross. They nail Him there. And I believe with all of my heart they drove the spikes up as far as they could drive them. I believe that. That bloody, beaten body. Now watch this, the crown of thorns, the soldiers, look in your Bible, and the Bible says, and they crucified Jesus, they took His garments, G-A-R-M-E-N-T-S. Look in your Bible. They took His garments, and the Bible says, and they made four parts to every soldier a part. How many of y'all see that? Would you raise your hand? Every soldier a part. Somebody tell me, or why would you even think that they would take His garments? Why would you think they would do that? The Bible says they took His garments and they made four parts to every soldier a part. Now you can argue and fuss all you want to, but it says every one of them took a part. That's what the book says. Say amen. Amen. It says every man, look in your Bible, and every soldier took a part. Right or wrong? Why did they do that? The Bible, now watch this. To the best of my ability, these Roman soldiers, they worked for the Roman government. They were brutal, unmerciful people. How many of you remember that when Jesus was born, Herod sent out a decree to kill every male child 2 years and younger? Y'all remember that? But brother, did you know, Brother Noble, that these soldiers, they were so barbaric, they were like these people over there in Europe. When they went in and you say, how could they be so barbaric to kill 6.5 million Jews? How could they make lampshades out of their skin? How could men be so barbaric to run hot irons through people's eyes and through their ears? How could they do that? These men made their living, listen to me, they terrorized people. They did it to put fear in people. But you see, when they was trying to kill the Son of God, when it says Herod sent out a decree to kill every male child to you, young, they threw the little male babies up in the air, the little Jewish babies, and they tried to sever their heads off before they hit the ground. They'd cut their heads off. They made everybody stand and watch them do that. The Serbs, and listen to this, did you know just a few years back, and everybody's forgot about this, but when the Serbs came in, did you know they made everybody come into the town and they gang raped little girls? They done it to put fear in them, and they called it ethnic cleansing. Now watch this. Look in your Bible. It says, every soldier a part to every soldier a part. So you find every one of them took a part. The Bible plainly says it. Look at your Bible. Made four parts. You see, cloth was not as available as it is now. Probably linen cloth. Now watch this. They wanted those garments to shine their low-down armor. Everything I can read. Why would they take the clothes off of his body? Remember now, he's been beaten. He's been up all night long. Say amen to me. Why would they do that, Nathan? They had to, they would shine their armor, and cloth wouldn't be a commodity out here where you could just go to somewhere and buy it. You see, so they took those men. And by the way, Jesus was crucified in the nude. That's the reason why it says all the women stood afar off. But that's not what I want you to see. Go on, look in your Bible. To every soldier apart. And then it says also his coat. Now his coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. Nobody knows where it came from. Nobody knows who gave it to the Son of God. Nobody knows even what happened to it afterwards. Look at your next verse. They said therefore among themselves, let's not rend it. In other words, let's don't tear it apart. Look in your Bible. Let's don't tear it apart. But now watch this. But it says in your Bible, but they cast lots for it. I read everything I can read. If you get in my library, I've got every old Puritan book. I love old books. I wanted to know, Brother Noble, I wanted to know what that meant when it says they cast lots. Everybody said, well, it means they gambled. I don't know. Somebody said like playing straws. I don't know. Somebody said that they had a round thing that had numbers on it. I don't know. But it says they cast lots for it. Now watch this, watch. They cast lots for it, and the Bible says these things, therefore the soldiers did. Now what I want you to picture, I want you to look at these men. They've crucified the Son of God. Say amen. Now watch this. The Son of God is hanging there, and they're down at the foot of the cross. And they're playing a low-down game. For a little while tonight, I want to preach on playing games at the foot of the cross. Let me tell you what I've done. I come in, we bought a building, a church that needed a building bad down in Oneida, Tennessee. And so, I'm just going to hit all the high spots. The state is taking Highway 27 north, so there's a church up there, and they wanted to know, did anybody want to buy the church and move the church? So we went up there, to make a long story short, some 20 of us. We took that building down, dismantled it, and moved it some 70 miles to that church down there in Pioneer, Tennessee. So anyway, the state took their building, and we bought that building for $2,500, everything inside of it. I mean, all the furniture, everything, PA system, everything for $2,500. But the kick was I had to move it in 90 days. Now, they got a beautiful building. I took all of our young people. We went up there and gutted the building, took the building down, moved it in less than 90 days. Took it down in 3, put it up in 5. But anyway, they got $600,000, the church did, out of their old building. So they went right across the road and built this great big edifice. Well, when they found out that we had bought their old building, they had a business meeting. And the women, God is my witness, the women stood up in that business meeting and told those men, they said, why can't we do what those men are doing? Why can't we take that building, move it over here on our property, and make a place where our children can play games? But bless the name of the Lord, that preacher stood up. He said, you mean to tell me that you want us to build a building where our children can play games and go to hell? It'll get quiet in here tonight. So anyway, that just stuck in my mind. Everybody that knows me, I come in and I preach every day of my life, every week of my life, primarily in the Carolinas and Virginia and Alabama, Florida, Mississippi, Louisiana, Tennessee. And when I come in, and if I get any time off at all, they want me to come down to this place that's called, they got this big building supply there, and it's called Lumber King. They want me to come down and preach for them on a Wednesday. Needless to say, I'll do it. I go down there at 6:30 in the morning, we go in that big old conference room, and I preach like a wild man for 30 minutes. So I got done preaching, this preacher walked up to me and he said, "Brother Sisson, where are you going to be at tonight?" I said, "I'd like to go to my home church." I said, I ain't had no days off forever. Hey, now remember, I just told him that I'd like to go to my home church. He said, "How about coming and preaching for me?" I said, "Now I can't hardly tell nobody no to save my life. My wife says I just don't know that in my vocabulary." So I said, "Okay." That was a mistake. He should have never invited me. Let me tell you why. I went to this building that would make this one four times this one. You've never seen such a building in your life. So he wanted to show me all the rooms in this place. I'd never seen a building like that in my life, Brother Bradley. He took me downstairs and he showed me all these rooms and showed me all the, and he made a bad mistake by showing me the youth room. When he opened the door, he pulled the door back too, and so I just opened the door up. I wouldn't know what was in there. Look up here. Everybody look at me right. Just look at these little beady eyes, man. That room was probably at least 30 by 30. That's a 900 square foot building. Say amen. In that place, Brother Lawrence, God is my witness, they had a flat screen TV that would make yours look sick. I never seen such a flat screen TV in my life. They had, look here, and they had little cubicles all around the walls. And them kids are sitting in there playing every kind of game you can think of. So I asked him, I said, "Are they coming upstairs?" He said, "Oh, no." He said, I said, "Nobody's going to preach to these kids?" He said, "No." I said, "Nobody's going to have a devotion with them?" He said, "No." I looked him dead in his eye. I said, "I'm going to tell you right now, if what we got years ago is how we got saved, it'll work for them." And I said, "These kids are playing games right into hell." Boy, he didn't like it to pull the door to. Look up here for a moment. Do you believe that that church will have a reward for spending all that money on nothing but a game room?
No.
Say amen to me. No!
Absolutely not.
They'll not have a reward in heaven for all them games. Hey, watch this. He showed me them. He shouldn't have never showed me this. I mean, some of them games, brother, I'm talking about was high-dollar, expensive, high-tech games. I never seen it. I'm not a game person. I don't know about these games. But I mean, do y'all understand? They're playing these electronic games, and upstairs was supposed to be the preaching of the Word of God. So I thought about this. Look in your Bible. It immediately come to my mind. It says they, in your Bible, look at it, they cast lots, so they're down playing games. Now write this down for me. Number one, if you look at Matthew 27 and verse 27, there they strip the Son of God. Read your Bible. We strip Him of His deity. We rob Him of His power. We rob the Son of God. We rob Him. Number two, write it down for me. They bowed their knee and they mocked Him. I'll get to it in a minute. They bowed their knee and they mocked Him. Thirdly, look in your Bible. They crucified Him. What do you mean? A world in bondage, a world under condemnation, and we crucify Him afresh and anew by our feeble, anemic lives. Number four, number three, whatever. They cast lots for His seamless garment. We rob Him. They robbed Him of His only earthly possession, and that was the garments that was on His back. Have you ever thought about it? You say, "I would never rob the Son of God." Some of you robbed Him just a moment ago. I would never rob the Son of God. We rob Him in our day and time. We have a testimony, but we won't stand and give it. So we rob Him the same way they did. We rob Him of our witness. We rob Him of our testimony. We rob Him of His time. Here's your faithful saying, "I just don't have time." Ain't that a sight? But isn't it amazing we've all got the same amount of it? If y'all don't perk up a little. We rob Him of our time. We rob Him of our talent. Some of you people have got talent. Some of you people could really truly be a blessing to people if you would just stand up. God gives every one of us at least one talent. We rob Him. You say, "Brother Sisson, why did God put us down here? Why did God let us be on this planet called Earth?" We're the only hands, we're the only feet, we're the only mouth He has.
Right, right. Yes, sir.
Maybe y'all are not like me. I don't want nobody to be like me. For God's sakes, I don't want nobody to be like me. I used to be so timid. I used to have no self-confidence, no self-worth. I had no self-confidence about me, none whatsoever. I mean, listen, I was so backward. I mean, listen, you come in one door, I'd go out the back door. What? I'd talk to the wall would talk back. Amen. It's like this guy come in my garage. I was changing oil on my car, getting ready to leave out. He walked up to me, Nathan, and you know how they'll do, Doc? These guys that's voting for, you know, they're running for election, they'll smile and, boy, I mean, drool out all his chin. And they'll get you by the hand and they'll say, oh, what's it? He come in, he said, hey, preacher, good to see you. And he wouldn't turn me loose. He said, you going to vote for me? I said, no. He said, why, Brother Sisson? I said, you've never kept your word a day I ever knew you. He had me by the hand. He wouldn't turn me loose. I said, hey, I asked him, I said, Rocky, I said, you asked me was I registered to vote. You asked me was I going to vote. Let me ask you a question. I said, if you used to die, would you go to heaven? He tried to turn my hand loose. I wouldn't turn him loose. I held on to his hand. I said, you come in my garage and ask me if they don't mind asking you, are you registered to vote? They don't mind asking you, are you going to vote? They don't mind. Why can't we turn it around on them? Who cares if they get mad? Amen. I told him and he said, I got to go. I said, I knew you were fixing to leave. My dentist, when you get my age, everything falls apart. I got a cataract on my left eye forming. Ain't that a blessing? I mean, I got my teeth. I try to keep my teeth. These are the real ones, not them Mount Vernon ones. Them is the real ones. So I try to take care of my teeth. I come in, I went to the dentist, and his name is John Stroud. So he puts me in that chair, and they put that stuff in you. You can't even talk, and him trying to talk to you, trying to tell you about a Jehovah Witness. And I know he's a Jehovah Witness, and he's trying to talk to me, and I can't talk to him because he's got my mouth half numb. So watch this. He fixes my teeth. And one day, now he knows I'm a Baptist preacher, an independent Baptist preacher. I live on the corner of Bourbon and Ridgeview. I know what's going through your mind. What kind of preacher lives on Bourbon Road? Look up here, a saved one. I live on the corner of Bourbon and Ridgeview. And they come out of the woodwork. I'm talking about, hey, look here. These Jehovah Witnesses, I'm talking about, they'll come, man. You can't believe how they work that subdivision. Guess who showed up on my doorstep? John Stroud, my dentist. When I opened that door, he looked at me. I thought he was going to pass out. Man, I stepped outside and closed the door. I said, John, you're wasting your time, son. I said, I'm blood-washed, heaven-bound, hell-proof, and going with it. Whether you people believe it or not. I said, how come it is amazing? I wouldn't let him say nothing. I just kept on going. I said, how come it is that y'all had only 144,000 going? Now you've changed that. I said, how come that is? He said, I got to go. I said, I knew you was going to leave too. You understand what I'm saying? Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Why in the name of heaven do we rob him of our witness? Would y'all say amen? Why do we do that? I'll tell you another thing we rob him of. We rob him of our his praise. There's nothing wrong with you. I disdain this entertainment thing. I disdain it. I despise it. We're all in this entertainment moment. Everybody wants to be entertained. You come to the house of God. You don't come to the house of God to be entertained. Amen. But there's nothing wrong with genuinely praising God. Have you ever thought about we rob him? Have y'all ever thought about that? But they'll say, well, what would they think? What they think didn't die for you. Jesus did. Y'all better say amen to me. So I'm saying the same way that they robbed him, we rob him. Let's go back and get the scene in your mind. Look at your Bible. These men are down at the foot of the cross and they're playing a game. Would y'all agree with that? Would y'all agree? How many of y'all got a Noah Webster 1828 dictionary? I know he has. If you don't have one, you ought to get you one. Noah Webster 1828 dictionary. Here's what he says. The word game is an exercise, a play for amusement, of winning a stake where someone wins or loses. That's a game. Boy, and I'm fearful we're hammered down playing a game. Let me give you this one. Write it down for me. These men were playing a game. There was the Son of God. Right around. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what game they was playing, but they was playing a game. We play a game today with this thing called sin. We toy with it and play with it. We see how close we can get to it without affecting us. Amen, sister. Our nation, we know our nation's coming apart at the seam. Our nation is not the Republican Party or the Republican Party or the Democrats or the Independents. Our problem is a sin problem. And we're playing a game with it. Amen. Our churches are playing games. Isaiah says, woe be unto them that add sin unto sin. Brother Sisson, I would never play a game with sin. Yes, you are. The Bible says in the book of Romans, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. James says, for you to know to do good and to do it not to him, it's sin. Have y'all know to do good today?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
Amen. Have y'all know to do good today?
Yes, sir.
Then it says, therefore, to know to do good, to do it not to him, it's sin. But I know what we do. We sit on these pews, Nathan, here's what we do. I've not got drunk and I've not committed whoredom. I don't gamble. I don't play the lottery. I've not had no abortion. But all the time they're sitting there with every kind of thing in the world inside of them. Envy, hate, jealousy, bitterness, meanness. But they don't think that's bad. I don't know this. I have no idea. I don't know how y'all feel. Do you ever just turn the searchlight on your own life? Do you ever just do that? I said we need to quit playing a game, amen. Hey, brother, sister, we come in, we say we love God, and we know that he who knew no sin was made sin for us. Amen. But yet we play a game. The psalmist said, search me, O God, and know me and try me. See if there be any wicked in me. But we see, we category sin. We category it. I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I wouldn't go there, and I wouldn't be involved in that. My point is I'm saying the same way that they played a game, we're playing a game today. The things that used to be the things that used to eat at us don't bother us anymore. Let me give you a classic example. I've been on the radio soon be 23 years of my life, Monday through Friday. I'm on five stations, Monday through Friday. I get you cannot believe it's a mail that I receive. And it humbles me that people would write me. I try to answer every letter. I do. And my point is, watch this. People will write me, and there's all kinds of things going on in their life. And our problem is we think that we can solve our problem. No, I'll tell you one who can solve our problem. The Son of God who died, paid our sin debt. Thank God he can solve our problems. Amen. But it's a sin problem. But our problem, we don't want to admit that. It goes against our grain. We don't want to admit what we are. And that's sinners by nature, by practice, and by choice. We don't want to admit that. It's offensive to our very nature. We don't want to do that. Not only are we playing a game with sin, but I thought about this. Look in your Bible. We're playing a game with this matter called salvation. Oh, Brother Sisson, no. Look up here for a moment. You can't get saved anytime you want to get saved. How do you like that? You cannot get saved anytime you want to get saved. You can't even get right with God anytime you want to get right with God. What do you mean by that, preacher? Paul said this, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. But I'm saying we play with this game. We think, well, I'll make it through. I'll be all right. When I get all I can all I get, and I want to leave my kids something behind that I didn't have. This is dumb to me. You ain't like me. The other day, when I say the other day, here a while back, God, the Holy Ghost got all over me. That ever happened to you? Y'all, Brother Jay, how many children you and Betty got? Huh? Have y'all ever thought about this? One of these days we're going to die. And our children will fight over what we left behind.
You're right.
I'm going to leave them bankrupt.
There you go.
I made up my mind. I mean, hey, I'll be honest with you. Boy, God's been good to me. And I told my wife, I said, if our kids need any help, they need it now, not when we're dying. But I know y'all don't believe this. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. I took care of funerals to where that security guards had to let two in to view the body and then take them and pull them back out. Close the doors, two go in and view the body. You know why? Mom wanted me to have that. Dad wanted me to have that. That ought not be, amen.
You're right.
But I'm saying we stockpile and stockpile and stockpile. And then one day our kids fight over it for the rest of their life. And we think, and won't even speak to, I know y'all don't believe this, but I know of children that would not even speak to their sisters or brothers.
Right. Yes, sir.
What do you mean by that, brother, sister? We spend all of our time gathering and accumulating.
Right. Yes,
We don't have no time for God. Don't have no time to lay up treasures in heaven. We think, well, I've got plenty of time. It's not going to happen to me. I've got plenty of time.
Right.
I'm saying if I believe the Bible and it says, behold, now is accepted time.
Yeah.
Now is accepted time. You can't get
it.
Hey, I know people believe this junk. I know people have got it ingrained in their mind. Well, I believe I'll make it through. I believe I'll be all right. I'm saying, well, you need to start listening to me. Hey, look here. Listen to the man of God. Listen to the pastor. Let me tell you why. You don't have as much time as you think you have.
Right.
Man, called me today, tore all to pieces. His name is Brother Paul Lard. I told you about his wife, got bone cancer. It's in her liver. It's in her lungs. Called me today. He said, Brother Sister, I just need to talk to somebody. He said, I tried to call my preacher and said, he works on a job and said, I just couldn't get a hold to my preacher. He said, would you talk to me? And he's just a crying. I said, Brother Paul, anytime you want to talk to me, just call me. I don't mind. You know, see, you're not even, that don't even rest her. It's not your wife that you've been married to 43 years that's dying with cancer. And you say, Brother Sisson, what is it going to take to get us to come to our senses and quit playing games? Cancer. Bone cancer, funeral, heart attack, stroke. We got a man in our church that's a county sheriff. Been a county sheriff for probably 28 years. Donald died. You remember Donald, the twins? Donald had a stroke. Whole side of his face is pulled down. He'd been a deputy sheriff all these many years. Been a member of Selene. I look at him and I go in, and when I do see him, my heart breaks. He's in a wheelchair. He can't bathe himself. He can't shave. He can't do anything. And I think it's only by the grace of God. It's not me. Amen. How do you know you may be the next one to have a stroke? How do you, and be totally debilitated?
Right.
You don't know that.
Right.
But I'm saying, we say, I've got plenty of time to get right. I've got plenty of time to get busy for God. So we play games. The game is where you either win or lose. Watch this. Not only do we play games with sin, but we play... I can't believe this generation we're living in. There's absolutely no fear. You know the reason why? Do you know the reason why that guy, that Cho could go in, that Korean could go in down there in Virginia Tech and kill all them people? Did you know a lot of times they said he laughed as he pulled the trigger on them? Did you know that, Kathy? Did you know that he put 3 shells in most of them? Did you know he spent he got off 170 rounds in 9 minutes? Sometimes they said he would put his hand and just pull the triggers at them. How come he could be that? Let me tell you why. They've seen so much blood and guts and games, and they've seen so much television. They've seen so much gore. They've seen so much death. They've seen every kind of bedroom scene till nothing doesn't bother them.
Right.
Nothing doesn't bother them. And you know, I tell you another, and parents go buy them that junk.
Right. Yes, sir, they do.
I told my boy, Nathan come in one day, and he worked at Oakwood, and he and I was sort of having a confrontation over these guys he's hanging around. See, I'm maybe rather that old school. As long as you put your feet under my table, live under my roof, you'll do what I tell you.
Amen.
Now, you can't do that, you have to leave.
There you go.
So I told him, I said, now, Nate, you're running wrong with the bat, wrong crowd, son. So let me tell you what he done, Doc. One day he come in and said, Daddy. He always called me Daddy. I can hear him saying, Daddy. He says, Daddy. I went back there in his room, Nathan, and he had a computer. He had a game in that computer. He said, Daddy, I want you to see this. Nathan had went and took his marksmanships, and he was an excellent marksman with a pistol. He got his concealed license to carry. I wanted to know why that he wanted to carry a gun. I did. I wanted to know why that he started packing the gun. And he said, Dad, I want you to look at this. I'll get back to the gun in a minute. When I walked into his room and seen that screen on that screen, he said, watch this. And he had a game on. And when he did, this, whatever, these matrix or whatever, he took a sword, and when he did like this, he come back, he said, and he slipped his head off just like that. And when he did, the blood hit the screen. I jumped back. I said, what in the world have you got in that computer? He said, Dad, I want you to see that, because he said, this is what kids watch today. Cutting heads off and blood splattering the screens and the most graphics I've ever seen in my life. I said, I want that out of this house now. Y'all think I'm mean, don't you? I said, I want it out of this house now. I explained to him, I said, Nathan, did you ever hear of a group called Grateful Dead? Yeah, Dad. It's a group of rock stars. Did you know I've got in my own possession, I've got a tape that everybody needs to listen to. I may play it to these young people if I had it with me. He's sitting and he's got a gun in his hand, and you can hear him on the tape, and he's listening to this group back here, this Grateful Dead and that ungodly music, and he keeps saying, I might as well do it. Nobody don't care. I might as well do it. Nobody don't care. And you hear the doorbell rings, and he pushes the thing on pause. He gets up and he goes to the door. You can even hear him conversing at the door. And he comes back, sits down in front of that thing, and turns it on again. And he says, I might as well do it. Nobody don't care. And you can hear the gun as he pulls the hammer back. And just in a minute, you hear the awfulest bang. And he puts the thing underneath his chin and blows the whole top of his head off. He's a 15-year-old kid. I told Nathan, I said, Nathan, I said, did you ever hear of a group called KISS? Yeah, Dad. I said, them are called Kings in Satanic Service. I said, they pray over every album and pray that a demon will go with every album. So I said, if you bring one of them things into my house, you're bringing demons into our house.
Right. Yes, sir.
You're too narrow, Brother Sisson. I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of things in our house should never be in our house.
You're right. Yes, sir.
This thing about no fear, let me tell you what I've done. I was down in Aiden, North Carolina. Preacher said, I got to stop at the drugstore. I said, okay. So I'm sitting there, and it's probably 95 degrees. He's got the air conditioner on. It's hot down there. I mean, it's hot. This guy pulls in beside me, and he's a young guy, and he gets out, and I looked, and I seen that. It says, no fear. So I get out in that hot sun. I said, son, yes, sir. I said, what's that mean? He said, what? I said, that in the back of your pickup truck where it says no fear. He said, I don't know. He's probably about 20 years old. And I said, so you got something in the back of your truck window that says no fear, and you don't even know what it is? He said, no. And he asked me this. He said, anything wrong with it? I said, everything. I said, Bible says, fear him that's able to destroy both body and soul. I said, son, do you know God? I said, if you used to die, do you know you go to heaven? He looked at me, he said, no, sir. He said, I don't ever even think about it. I said, you don't ever think about dying? I said, you don't ever think about one day you're going to leave this world? What I'm trying to get you to see, our whole young people's been brought up with no fear. We're playing games. And let me get on this subject about our kids. I went into a church here a while back, and it's ungodly what's going on in our churches. Young girls come in with these ungodly miniskirts, pull up to here. I know y'all don't blame it, but I get embarrassed. And they'll come in, and God is my witness, they have absolutely no shame. Oh, Lord, I'm in the right groove now. Look up here. Them kids do not buy them designer clothes. Usually it's a mother trying to live her life out through her child.
Yeah.
Ain't that a shame?
Yeah.
Raising her up to be a little harlot.
Yes, sir.
What are you trying to get me? See, brother, sister, there's some things that we ought never bring in our homes. Amen.
Yes, sir.
No fear, brother, sister. In this generation, there is no fear.
Right.
Brother, he's talking about his grandkids. My heart cringes. How many of y'all got grandchildren? Do y'all ever get concerned about them? What in the name of heaven is it going to be like 2 years down the road? I didn't say five. Y'all ever think about it? A 13-year-old will be 15. 15-year-old will be 17-year-old. 11 will be a 13-year-old. What are you trying to get me? See, brother, we're playing these games, and I'm telling you tonight, somehow or another, we got to have a moving of God to quit playing games. Amen. Playing a game with this matter called sin. Playing a game with this matter called salvation. Number three, write it down for me. Playing a game with our Savior. 1 John 4, verse 19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. Have you ever contemplated it? Have you ever just thought about this? That He loved Noble Crowley enough that He died and would have paid His sin debt if He'd been the only person on this planet. And we play games with Him. God, you don't know how that breaks my heart. Revelation tells us in chapter 2, verse 4, they've left their first love. You see, when you lose your first love, you get cold, backslidden on God, indifferent, find fault, be critical with everything. Amen, Sisson. I've been there, done that. Say amen. And I'm saying when you get that way, what do you mean, preacher? The same way that these men were so callous, so look in your Bible, down on the playing a game, and there he's hanging, bleeding and dying and paying our sin. I'd never do that, brother, sister. But we do by our anemic lives. We play games with him. I think we grieve the heart of God.
Oh, yes, sir.
I do. I believe that. I believe with all of my heart we grieve him.
Right.
How his heart must grieve over us. You see, Brother Sisson, I don't understand everything I'd like to understand about it, but I know this. It says they were casting lots. One of them walked off that place called Calvary, Golgotha. Look in your Bible. One of them got that seamless garment. Playing a game. Brother Sisson, would y'all be honest with me? Would y'all be honest with me? I know of churches that just playing games. They're just playing games. No Sunday night service. No Wednesday night service. I know y'all don't believe this. I know of churches that hadn't had revivals in matters of years. Can't get people to come. That's what they say. They can't get them to come. A whole lot of preachers don't want to have no revivals. They go in and fill the pulpit on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, do their little obligation. Amen, sister. God help us, amen. What are you trying to get me to see, Brother Sisson? I'm saying tonight we ought to say, God, by the helping grace of God, I'm going to quit playing the game. Hey, I know when God says quit, let's stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Hey, Brother Larry, would you come, please? The pianist comes. Boy, there's a whole lot to that, more than I could ever get across. There's the soldiers. There's the scoffing. There's the sympathetic ones. There's the seekers. How many of you would get out of your seat tonight and come and say, God, Lord, by the helping grace of God, help us as a family. Help me as a dad. Help me as a mom. Help me as a grandparent. I believe every person that's really saved, you ought to have a desire to want to be the very best you can be. You ought to show to your children what Jesus really means to you. Hey, get your kids by the hand and come on to the altar, would you? Just get your kids. And you ought to come tonight and say, God, I want my kids to know more what about the Lord Jesus than a game. Please, our world's going to hell at a breakneck speed. Hammered down. Our grandkids, hey, they need a granddaddy that loves God. They need a grandma that loves God. They ought to see grandma down, grandpa down on their knees. They're playing a game. Some of you here tonight, God knows I wouldn't be offensive to nobody. I don't want to die with unconfessed sin in my life. I want to run my race well. I don't want to face the Son of God. I don't believe it's going to be as easy as everybody thinks it's going to be anyway. Playing a game. You're here tonight and unsaved. Did you know you're playing the game? Well, there'll be another service. How do you know? With our heads bowed. You'd say, Brother Sisson, please pray for me. Anywhere in the building, would you slip your hand up real high? Anywhere, just take it down. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. Would you, Lord, please examine our hearts. The psalmist of old said, search me and know me and try me and see if there be any wicked in me. Lord, as Brother Larry, Lord, led us in a song, and Lord, his heart was broken. Lord, would you please, you told us that you was nigh them of a broken and a contrite heart. God, once again, would you help us, Lord, to see that scene, bring it to our mind, and see those ungodly men down at the foot of the cross playing a game while our Savior hung and bled and died. Oh, God. Alienated, alone. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Lord, would you please bring that scene to our mind? Lord, would you give us a moving of the Spirit of God like we've never had in all of our life? Change us, Lord, from our anemic lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.